be seated. I think one of the most humbling statements in those songs that we sang was in that first song when it says, "Thank you for the cross, my friend." Who am I? Who are we that we can say to the sovereign Lord, creator of all, friend? But Jesus said in John 15, verse 14, "I no longer call you servant, but I call you friend." The substitutionary death of Jesus, by his life, he showed us how grace lives. And when he went to the cross, he showed us how grace dies. I am not good enough, but I have been given a goodness that fills in the gaps. Now, next week, we'll take some time to talk about what we do with this goodness that we've been given. But for today, we just need to allow this truth to sink in, or maybe to re-sink in for some of us, in case we've forgotten it. We need to allow grace to once again teach our hearts to fear. Grace would teach us that this uneasiness, this frustration, this guilt that we sometimes feel cannot be removed by doing enough or being enough. We can't exercise enough to take it away. We can't read enough to take it away. We can't work enough to take it away. We cannot shop enough to take it away or eat enough to take it away. We cannot do enough of anything to take that away. There is no amount of self-talk, self-esteem, self-discipline, self-assurance, being more true to yourself or self-anything that can wash it away. Grace would teach us that the only way for that feeling, that reality to be healed, is God. You need God. You need to be saved from what sin has done and is doing in your soul and in my soul. And not just in terms of an afterlife picture of what's going to take place or saving us from some punishment eternally that we will face. But I'm also talking about what sin does to our soul right now. That's what we need to be saved from in this moment. Because there is something wrong between me and myself, me and my world, me and other people, me and God. And that's true for all of us. I heard one individual talk about some friends of theirs who had a very strong-willed 4-year-old daughter. We'll call her Sarah. Have you ever had a strong-willed child? Those who laugh have. One of the particular problems they had was she would get on her tricycle and she would just ride. She'd just ride. So her mother finally became angry enough that one day went out front, said, "Sarah, come over here. Here is a tree right here. Now over on this side is our driveway over here. Now, you can ride your tricycle between the tree and the driveway. You can ride in the driveway between the tree and the driveway. But if you go past the tree or past the driveway, you will get a spanking. Now, I'm going back inside. We have a big picture window. I will be watching. And if you go past the tree or you go past the driveway, I will come out and there will be spanking." To which Sarah backed up to her mother and said, "You better spank me now. I've got places to go." That is a good picture of the human heart. It's a good picture of the human heart, the human condition. At the very heart of human need is this reality that the human will has turned away from God. And we often know the right thing to do, but we don't do it. We know the things we shouldn't do, but we choose to do them. The human will has turned from God. Mine has, and yours has. And there is this huge problem in the world today that we've gotten accustomed to it. It's kind of like aging and the deterioration of our bodies. It's going to happen. We get used to it. It's all around us. And sometimes, because this sinfulness is just all around us, we get used to it. We get used to the horrible poverty in our world and the injustice and the dishonesty and the deceptiveness and the immorality. We get used to it. But God never gets used to it. God never looks at our world and says, it's okay. He never looks at this world where people are dying on the inside and dying on the outside. He never looks at it and says, it's okay. Grace never does that. God's standard is sinless purity in which he dwells. And that's the only environment in which his creation and love and justice and shalom, peace, can really flourish. And in God's eyes, he has this morally sane vision, which sin is the real whore of our soul, of my soul and of your soul. So let me just take a moment, and I want to read a few words. And I want you to just think about the words. And see if any of these words touch some place in your life. Pride. Judgmentalism. Apathy. Apathy to the poor. Greed. Envy. Unfaithfulness. Treating people as a means to get what you want. Lying, selfishness, a complaining heart, grumbling, gossip, lust, sexual immorality, stubbornness, divisiveness. Grace would say that healing starts by saying, I am not good enough. There is something broken inside of me, and I cannot fix it. But it matters. I can achieve everything that I want to achieve. I can find the relationship that I long for. I can become enough in all those areas, but that is not really enough. My only hope is Jesus. Our only hope is Jesus. I need Jesus who died on a cross, and somehow when he did that, he took all the evil that I have done, somehow he took all that evil on himself, and he gave to me a goodness that I don't have. My only hope is Jesus. So here's the invitation. For those of you who have reached out and grabbed that extended hand and you're holding on to it with everything you have, maybe during the invitation, it's just a reminder that by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works that any of us can boast. If in the midst of this invitation, maybe you're one that's grabbed hold of the hand, but you just need to be reminded, and you need to have a fresh sense of God's grace. And my prayer is that God will just pour that upon you if that's what you need right now. Maybe you're one who has never really grabbed hold of that hand. You see him. You know who he is. You even know you need him. But for whatever reason, you've not yet humbled yourself to say, I am sorry. Forgive me. I want to live with you as Lord of my life. I'm going to trust you and hold on with everything I have. And if that's where you're at today, as we we sing this song, I would encourage you to admit the fact that you need Jesus. Nothing else in the world will do. Come to the front. Accept Him as your Savior. Accept His grace. You can be united with Him in baptism today. You can walk away knowing that He's holding tightly onto you as well. Let's stand as we sing.